Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, unnecessary roughness. Is conflict complicating your life and relationships? We're going to help you find the solutions you're seeking. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Unnecessary Roughness. Of course, it's a sports term, but we're talking about conflict today on More to Life. And if conflict is complicating your life and relationships, we want to help you find the solutions you're seeking. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are conflicts or disagreements between you and the people in your life getting you down? Maybe there are certain topics you can't discuss without provoking an argument with someone you care about. Or there are certain people with whom disagreements always escalate. Or you're just generally tired of the way conflict, disagreements, arguments, and tension are complicating your life. And let's face it, there's a lot of tension these days. Let us help you find the solutions you're seeking. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not somebody who loves fighting. I don't like fighting. I don't like arguments. It's not my game of choice. I come from a family that did kind of think of it as like an entertaining way to spend a Saturday morning. You know, let's have breakfast and like eviscerate each other over politics or social issues, and it was just never something that I enjoyed, probably because I was years and years younger than my sibling, and I just couldn't keep up, and it just seemed an awful way to spend time. But there are those who enjoy it. There are those who do it because they feel very impassioned about a certain subject or something that's going on in their life. And then there are those who want to avoid it completely. And then there's the sanity of it. How do we handle injustices in our own life? How do we handle problems we need to solve without it blowing up, making our lives more complicated, depleting us, exhausting us, and wrecking relationships? That's what most people really wonder about.
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point, because I do think that most people see it in terms of either, you know, enjoying or not enjoying conflict. I don't think there are a lot of people that enjoy conflict. I mean, I get what you're saying about, you know, kind of a vigorous discussion, a kind of political argument. Those can be fun in the right circumstances, I suppose. But it's not really about enjoying or not enjoying conflict. It's really about knowing how to be strong enough to make conflict safe. Right? Because because when it comes down to it, if you feel confident in your ability to have a safe disagreement with somebody, to keep those conversations feeling safe, where you are not feeling attacked, and you know how to handle it if you are, and you know how to express yourself without attacking somebody, then disagreement doesn't have to feel so threatening.
Right.
But if you don't know how to do that, then, of course, it does feel threatening. And that's where people don't like it, because it makes us feel vulnerable. It makes us feel picked on. It makes us feel attacked.
It can often trigger, you know, wounds of your childhood where
sure.
You did feel all of those things. And mm-hmm. Now, as an adult, you still feel all of those things when something happens. And I think you're absolutely right in that's what we're talking about today. how to feel safe in a conflict, yet achieve a peaceful understanding, a working way to deal with each other. Mm-hmm. But I will say there are a lot of people listening right now who are saying, no, I have somebody in my life who enjoys eviscerating people in conflict, who enjoys that conflict. Because a lot of us are dealing with bullies in our lives. People, even our own spouses, who like will just go after us personally when trying to solve a difficult situation, or a mother-in-law who does that, or a parent who does that, or a sibling who definitely knows your entire childhood history and decides to bring it up when you're, you know, 70 years old still. There are those people who like doing that, and that's why most of us find ourselves in one situation or another sometime in life where we don't feel particularly safe in conflict, because
no,
there are people
true.
Who do that. But if you're tired of not feeling safe in conflict, or like you can achieve your goals when conflicts come up in your life, and you're sick of it, you want to be a person who can feel safe and competent and achieve your goals in a conflict situation with whoever that is in your life who you may be feeling in conflict with, we're here to help you today to get those skills to feel right and strong, and to be able to walk with God through whatever conflicts life is throwing at you. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I mean, disagreements are unavoidable, right? Because we're all different people. And you get two people in a room long enough, eventually they're going to disagree with each other. And that's not so much the problem. The problem is when people don't know how to handle those disagreements safely, respectfully, effectively. I do think, though, that Christians in particular have a difficult relationship with conflict, where we either fall into the trap of how do I put this delicately? We fall on either side of it. We either feel like we have to be, for want of a better way to put it, crusaders, where we're gonna proclaim the truth, and it doesn't matter how many heads we take. You know, I mean, and we're vicious and mean about it, or because we feel like because somebody has to say it, you know, or we are terrified of conflict, and we believe that to be a Christian means to never rock the boat, and both of those things are lies from Satan, because the first approach causes us to come across so poorly that no one can actually hear what we're trying to say. And so the very important truth that we're trying to communicate ends up getting lost or written off because people just say, well, you're mean and I don't need to listen to you. The other side of it is a lie as well, because being a Christian is not about avoiding conflict. I mean, even Jesus said, do you think that I came to bring peace? You know, he was a very divisive figure, if you hadn't noticed. And, you know, so he wasn't afraid of saying those hard truths, but he modeled the way to do that, which was to always respect the dignity of the person that he was talking with, to always be a loving example of how to communicate those hard truths. And so when we are dealing with conflict in our own lives, it's not about, you know, going on full bore or ignoring those important conversations. It's really about how do we address those things in a respectful and effective way. So let's talk about it. You know, inevitably, you've got some disagreements, I'm sure, going on in your marriage right now, or with your kids right now, with your extended family, with friends, that are probably weighing pretty heavily on your heart, because there's a lot to disagree with and disagree about these days. So let's talk about how to do it gracefully and to find the solutions you're seeking today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Tell us about those disagreements, conflicts, tensions between you and the people in your life that are getting you down. Those topics you have a hard time addressing without provoking a larger argument. Or just those people who don't seem to know how to disagree fairly. And they end up stepping all over you. And you come away feeling like, did I do something wrong? I don't even know what happened there. You know, I just said hello, and all of a sudden they were tearing my head off. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. Looking at this from the perspective of the theology of the body, I think sheds a whole lot of light on how we need to approach conflict.
Well, it does, because in the beginning, God created each of us to see the world a little differently, so that working together and using our gifts for each other's good, we would all attend to different details in a manner that would allow us to create a more holistic solution to any challenge. But in a fallen world, filled with unique and unrepeatable people who see things differently and don't always work for each other's good, there's bound to be some degree of conflict, as we're talking about today.
That's right, and that's why St. John Paul reminds us that the only solution to that challenge is to love. That is, to work to understand what the other person needs in order to flourish, and to be willing to make personal sacrifices to help them achieve those things. By being loving, even in conflict, we can discover how to encourage each other through the tension and toward godly solutions. And experience even closer relationships, not just in spite of our differences, but because of those differences. You know, conflict does not have to be a wedge that separates you from the people that you love. Ideally, when we bring those conflicts into God's grace, they become a way to draw closer to each other. Because when we can work through those disagreements, tensions, conflicts respectfully, that opens up new avenues for grace, for intimacy, for the connection and communion that we're called to live in. But that sounds great on paper. It's often hard to actually do it in real life. So let's talk about how to make this happen. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. And tell us about the conflicts in your life and relationships. Where are the disagreements getting you down? What are those situations that You're just not sure how to handle, and even thinking about them just makes your head spin a little bit. We want to help make that a whole lot easier and enable you to find the solutions that you're seeking with the people you care about. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring you all the situations where we are experiencing conflict or disagreement or tension with the people that you have placed in our lives. Lord, it's hard to know how to deal with those situations gracefully. Often we give into the temptation to just either yell back or try to overpower. Sometimes we give into the temptation to shut down and not say things that we need to say. Help us to have the wisdom to know what you want us to say in disagreements with others. Help us to always remember to work for the good of the person that we're arguing with, to find ways to encourage and affirm each other through the conflict and toward the solutions that will glorify you. Help us to remember to invite you into our disagreements so that you can lead us to a place where we can glorify you, work for each other's good, and be our best selves, even while we are struggling with the tension that comes from seeing things differently. Help us to be the peacemakers you call us to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, the show is titled Unnecessary Roughness. Of course, we're talking about conflict, dealing with those complications in our lives and relationships that are the result of disagreements, tension, not seeing eye to eye on anything from personal issues to larger issues. It doesn't matter. The point is, as Christians, we need to know how to deal with those disagreements respectfully and effectively. But it's not easy to do. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Wisconsin.
Hi, Teresa. What's going on? Teresa,
Hello.
Are you there? Yeah, hi.
Hello. How are you today? What can we do for you?
Hi, I'm Teresa from Wisconsin, and I wanted to share that I'm in a marriage right now that in 2000 I thought I wouldn't be married because of conflicts. And simply, I married a Catholic that is baptized only, doesn't practice his faith. I, on the other hand, are probably, I've had a chance to go to Rome, to the Vatican multiple times. I'm probably the other side of the spectrum. I'm hot, he's cold. Mm-hmm. He is also abuses alcohol, and I've worked for 40 years in a hospital with alcohol and drug addicts and mentally ill people. So, but we have such a difficult time communicating. And I know there's a place for tough love in marriage. I know there's a place for confrontation in marriage. Can you help me with that?
Well, so are you asking about how do you need to set boundaries with him because of his alcohol abuse? Or are you, what,
well,
when you say there's a place for confrontation?
That and people in general, because, again, I'm choosing to participate in 12-step programs, and things like principles above personalities is used. Again, there's a place and time for everything, so I try to practice detachment, discernment, and all that kind of stuff. So just a kind of direction.
Is there a specific situation you'd like to handle? Because the question you're asking is very broad, right? So, I mean, I could give a 10-hour talk on it. So is there a specific thing that where this is coming up that you'd like to be able to handle better with your husband, and you'd like some particular advice here?
Sure. One of the things I guess I discovered is that my husband does bullying tactics when we are trying to talk. And I tried to be aware and cognizant of the fact that he's got the alcoholism disease. And so, but in 2000, I was looking at a divorce, and I chose to, because, by the grace of God, to stay in the marriage, because we do love each other.
Okay, but you're saying he bullies you now, or that back in 2000?
In 2000, he wanted to leave me.
Okay, but I'm asking you now. Like, you're calling me now. What can I do for you today? What's one thing that I could do to help you by the end of this call?
Okay, so conflict-wise with a spouse who suffers from alcoholism but refuses to get help, I don't want to force him getting help because that's not my place. I want to do God's will, not my will.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you there because I think you, what you need to do is because all right, so let's talk about that. All right, if you're that would be like saying, you know, well, look, the reality is your husband's having an affair. All right, he's having an affair with alcohol, and as long as alcohol is in your relationship, you can't relate to him. You have no relationship as long as alcohol is there. He will always love alcohol more. Alcohol will dictate all of his behavior. There is no way that you will be able to have any positive effect on him whatsoever as long as the alcohol is in his life. And so it would absolutely be appropriate for you to say, honey, I love you with all of my heart, and I am committed to this marriage, but you cannot live here as long as you're drinking. So you can either get help, be working a program, go through rehab, you can go in AA every day, you can be working your rear end off to stay in a program and not drink, or you can go find someplace else to live, and you move him out.
You stay married to him, but you're giving him this very definitive, clear understanding that right now he has an idol in his life. He's not putting God first, and he's not putting the sacrament of your marriage first, and he's not putting what God wants for him in terms of his health and well-being and his ability to become fully the man of God that God wants him to be. First, you're going to be prophetic here, Teresa, in saying, God's called you into a marriage with me. God wants you to honor him in your life, and all you're honoring is the alcohol. And I understand that you're addicted, and I understand that there's probably a depression and wounding that's leading you to lean into that addiction. But there is also help, and there is also healing and health for you, and I love you too much to let you
be here if you're willing to get that help. But if you're not willing to get that help, you can't be here. All the other questions you're asking are a little bit like saying, you know, I'm the captain of a cruise ship that's sinking, and I'm really concerned about keeping the pool clean while the ocean water's coming in. I mean, there's just nothing else you're asking matters. The most important thing here is that you need to learn to set an effective limit with the fact that he's not willing to get treatment. All right, and so I want you to work. You say you're in 12-step programs. I want you to talk with your sponsor about how to do that. I want you to get effective counseling to learn how to set boundaries with this. Our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, is a book all about setting boundaries as a Christian. But the reality is, unless you can't love your husband if you're not setting these boundaries and insisting that he get the help that he need. And if he's not willing to get that help, he can't be there.
Because really, truly loving someone is working for their good. And letting him, very much like saying, as Greg was saying, being the captain of a cruise ship and saying, how do we keep the pool water clean when we're sinking? The passengers on that ship want a captain who is going to work actively to save their lives, right? He needs you as his wife to help to save his life, even if that means, yeah, you're going to have to climb down the scary ladder and get in the lifeboat, and here's your lifeboat, here's the program, here's the counseling, here's what we need to be doing together to save your life, because saving his life is saving the marriage as well. So it's about staying in the marriage, but making sure that you're doing the things that call him on to healing and holiness.
Teresa, I hope that you're able to take this to heart and follow this up with both your sponsor and with a good, faithful counselor that can get you the rest of the way. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're joined by Dr. Joseph White, who's going to be sharing with us about handling conflict with our kids. They don't have to escalate. They don't have to be power struggles. But what can we do to have more effective, cooperative disagreements with our small children? 877-573-7825 is the number to call to talk about all the conflicts in your life. Stick around for more insights on managing disagreements when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
In the annals of prayer, why is Elijah such an important figure? Elijah is the father of the prophets, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The mission of the prophets was to educate the people of God so that they might experience conversion of the heart rather than merely participating in the ritual practices of religion. St. James, in referring to Elijah, says, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." This is affirmed when Elijah asks God to restore the life of the son of a widow, and the Lord hears and answers Elijah's prayer. On Mount Carmel, Elijah challenges 450 prophets of Baal to a prayer duel before all the Israelites. Baal proves to be a false god, giving no answer to pleas from his prophets, while the God of Israel proves to be the true God by producing in response to Elijah's intercessory prayer a mighty fire to consume the Holocaust. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Unnecessary Roughness, as we talk about dealing with conflict in our lives. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about managing disagreements, conflicts, and tensions in your relationships. Joining us right now, Dr. Joseph White. He is a family psychologist and director of catechetical resources for our Sunday visitor. He's here to talk to us about how conflicts between parents and kids don't have to be power struggles. Dr. Joseph White, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, so talk to us about this. I mean, because I think most parents do experience disagreements with their kids as power struggles, at least to some degree. How do we avoid getting into that trap?
Well, you know, the first thing we do in Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a God who entered into solidarity with humankind and empathizes with us. And it's one of the things that really draws us into relationship with him and makes us want to follow him and work with him. And we always feel more like cooperating when we know somebody understands us. And so even though it sometimes feels counterintuitive when we know that our child is having a problem with something we've asked them to do or is frustrated and starting to argue with us, a good first step, the key that unlocks the cooperation, is expressing empathy, is being able to say, hey, you're feeling really frustrated because you want to do this and I've asked you to do that. You know, it will help them just to feel understood, to want to cooperate a little more.
But that's not the same thing as not the same thing as giving them permission to speak disrespectfully, though, or behave badly. It's just the starting point.
No, and in fact, sometimes we have to show the empathy and then say, but we need to talk to each other respectfully. So try that again and tell me how you feel in different words that are more respectful. So once we've done that, I think the other thing we can do is invite kids to cooperate and collaborate with us, to say, let's talk about how we can work this out. And that's not the same as, you know, compromising and having them not do what we've asked them to do, but it might mean just doing a little creative problem solving and say, you know, say, for example, if we've told them that they have to stop playing with Legos and do dinner, that we can talk about when they can get back to those Legos later.
And being able then to invite them to be part of the process of problem solving so that they can get what they want and we can get what we need as well. And the book that you were recommending is The Explosive Child by Dr. Ross Green. I think it's a great resource for parents. And I want to thank you for the segment today, Dr. Joseph White. Folks, we're taking your calls about conflict when More to Life continues after the break.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. God wants us to have a great marriage. It may be hard to believe that. After all, a great marriage only benefits my spouse and me, right? Wrong. God truly does want you to have a great marriage because your marriage is not just about you. God wants to change the world through your marriage. Marriage is a vocation, a ministry, a way that we live out God's grace in the world.
He blesses others and calls them to Him through marriages. When you actively work on having the best marriage and family life possible, you give God the opportunity to tell the world that love that is freely given, total, faithful, and fruitful is actually possible. And it's a path to true joy. Your witness to love can and will change the world. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today's show is titled Unnecessary Roughness. Of course, it's a sports term, but we're talking about conflict today on More to Life and the ways that conflict, disagreements, tension, and just the challenge of not seeing eye to eye with someone we care about complicates our life. So if conflict is complicating your life or relationships, we want to hear from you and talk through ways to not just hush it up, but to actually find solutions that you can both live with. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, Greg, you talk about this idea of unnecessary roughness as our title today, and really, you know, I just finished this Steeler season because, you know, we made it to the playoffs and that was about it. But there were many, many times during that season where a ref would call that on a play, like, and you'd watch it before the ref had to do anything about it, and you're like, why did that player do that to my guy? You know, and we often allow either our goal or our tempers to cause us to be unnecessarily rough in arguments and situations and problem solving. And there's very rarely a ref there to throw down a flag and say, no, this has got to stop.
And actually, I was just talking with somebody about this earlier today who had the revelation that he was not responsible for the person he was in conflict with, for that person being abusive toward him. That, you know, that we often feel like, you know, well, if I did something, maybe I disappointed this person, or I, you know, I dropped the ball in some way, or maybe, you know, I had a bad day and I was rude to them. We have this idea that if somebody has a legitimate beef against us, they also have the right to approach us in a disrespectful, cruel, or unkind way.
And unfortunately, if that person is sort of perpetually a bullying sort of person, they'll reinforce that. They'll tell you it's your fault for them being.
Or on the other hand, sometimes we feel like, you know, we're justified in attacking somebody else if they have wronged us in some way, you know. But as Christians, we have an obligation, even when we're upset, even when our cause is just, to deal lovingly with people and to bring our concerns to them in respectful ways. And the flip side, we have a right to be treated with love and respect, even if we've done something wrong. Now, there's a shocker for a lot of people. I mean, you know, just because you've dropped the ball, just because you've had a bad moment, just because you've not done what you're supposed to do, does not give somebody else the right to treat you disrespectfully or unlovingly. They can come to you and say, look, I'm really hurt, or I'm really frustrated, or I'm really upset. We need to figure this out. I need your help to work through this. But they don't have a right to yell and scream and call names and attack you. Our obligation as Christians is to bring our anger to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm upset about this. This is a real injustice that I've experienced, or at least I feel like it is. Help me to know how to respond to this situation and this person in a way that's going to allow me to address the need, but still work for their good and glorify you. Now, that's easy to say, and it sounds great when I describe it to people, but it's another thing to actually pull it off. So if you are hearing something in this that makes you say, well, you know, all right, I'd like to do that, or I'd like to have other people treat me that way, but you're not sure how to make it happen, we're here to help. The number 877-573-7825. Again, that number 877-573-7825 will help you manage the conflicts, disagreements, and tensions in your life or relationships. Let's talk it out together and find graceful ways to manage conflict. 877 573 573-7825.
Let's talk now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much. You really hit a nerve. I appreciate you guys being there. We were out last night celebrating, and I was joking with the kids, and I lost my husband. It's 2 years now, and I was saying to the woman that answered the phone, I feel like they have, like, a bubble over me. It's two things. It seems like when we get together, because we were raised so negative and in such a negative, abusive environment, after he passed, he was a loving man on the other side of the coin, you know what I mean? But
I'm honestly a little bit lost. Here, I'm sorry. I just want to clarify. You said because we were raised in such. Do you mean that growing up, your parents were, or were you referring to your husband being
to the
children?
I am referring to my husband. My husband and I, the children and I were involved in a bipolar situation. It was very volatile every quarter.
Okay.
And it seemed like after he's gone now, it seems like whenever we get together and someone has a negative issue or someone needs something, or instead of being there for each other and showing each other care and love and peace, it's coming out controlling and negative and, oh, no, and then this big swarm happens and everybody's going home like, oh, yeah, like we figured that. I can't believe I'm on radio saying this, but
that's all right.
It's horrible because all we want is peace and love.
Okay.
And that's, I stay out of everything because I feel like I'm the key. I feel like they all get neurotic when I'm around.
Hmm. Well, sure, because, you know, you're the representation of everything they grew up with now because you're the surviving parent. Now, Karen, let me ask you this. You have got great insight into this dynamic, and you're saying that everybody wants love and wants peace and wants connection, but the dynamic that existed through raising the kids has left this leftover stuff that's just, it just keeps bubbling up, and it's destructive for all of you. Have you ever said to them as a collective group, either on a group call or even when at the start of a get-together like last night's, guys, this keeps happening, and I think that now that we, it's just us, and that sort of constant trigger of the bipolar stuff is not in our lives actively, it would be great if we could all get together with a family therapist and work some of this out so that we could get new skills on how to love each other and deal with each other. Would the family be open to trying to heal any of this with somebody who could actually work you through it with new skills?
You know what's sad is that is a big fat no, because I knew it was going to be when it happened. I knew it. I not to prolong the call. Other people need to get in here.
No, you're
what
fine.
What I wanted to mention was that I see all of this happening, and although they were trying to be there for me last night, and I will say to the radio audience, that when you notice that you're arguing with somebody, it usually is when alcohol or drugs or something else is around. It's usually very heated because everybody was drinking last night. It was a big 21-year-old celebration.
Okay.
And I really don't like that anymore. That's why we don't do things anymore, because we don't want to get into that situation. And they all say that they go for help. I don't think any of them are. I'm not either, because I really have been getting a miracles after miracles. I go to God for everything. I go to Jesus.
Well, that's good, and that's important. But I'm going to jump in on this because I think that you're touching on something here. Okay, I think that as parents of adult children who are struggling with difficulties, okay, we need to take the lead in how we want our kids to deal with this stuff, okay? And there are two things. One, Well, maybe three. All right. So number one, I'd like you to set a limit on. Look, guys, when we get together and you guys have been drinking, things don't go well. So I cannot be around you if there's going to be drinking. That's number one. Number two, I want you to do sort of what Lisa was saying, even without the therapist, and say, guys, you know, we have a long history where as a family we did not handle conflict well. What do we need to do? Like, when you're talking about them individually, or even if you're talking about them as a group, but to not wait for the conflict to come up, but to intentionally bring up at some point, guys, we need to learn how to handle conflict differently. What could we do to make sure that we're taking care of each other when a disagreement happens? And actually have the conversation long before the disagreement actually occurs.
Yeah, because once everybody's escalated, whether there's alcohol involved or not, there's no really reining it in. You need a plan beforehand.
So you know, you're talking to them, and they say, hey, Mom, how's it going? It's like, you know, it's going fine. And, you know, you talk about the weather or whatever. And then you say, hey, listen, there was something I wanted to talk about. You know, we never handled conflict when you were growing up very well. We need to have a different approach to this, because I know we all want love and peace in our family, but we don't pull it off very well. What would you say it would take from me or from the rest of the family for you to feel cared for and taken care of when we don't see eye to eye? What do we need to do to do a better job of showing up for each other, even when there's disagreement or tension? And have that conversation at a time that's separate from the disagreements. Because if you're not having that discussion before a disagreement happens, then, you know, it's pointless, right? You just get caught up in the moment. Third, I do want you to seek some help. And it's good that God, you've been getting miracle after miracle. God is pouring out grace to you, okay? But you can't effectively cooperate with that grace, not as well as you need to, unless you have new skills and tools to do that. You know, so it's not a mutually exclusive thing. It's not, do I go to God or do I go to a therapist? It's, I go to a therapist so I can work more effectively with the grace God is giving me to not just change my life, but be an example to my adult children on how they can live a healthy life too.
And I love the fact that you're going to Jesus and he's giving you miracle after miracle. But here's the thing, Karen, is that when the Holy Spirit shows up in that way, where you can see him obviously in things that he's allowing to happen in your life, in miracles that are occurring, what he's doing through those gifts is saying, I'm here for you, Karen. I love you. I want to be an active presence in your life. And one of the gifts I'm giving you is seeing me so you can know that I'm here for you, so you can have the courage to take the next steps that I'm asking you to take. And I don't think, based on what you're saying, that it's any kind of an accident that you happen to be listening to this show today. I think God's saying, here's another miracle, Karen. Listen to what you're hearing and know that I'm walking with you, and you can hold on to me to have the courage to take the steps that you need to take so that you can heal your family, because you're putting this out there. You're not just saying it on the radio. You're saying it in your heart out to God, and he's hearing that message, that longing for you, and he's leading you to the next step of what can you do to begin to get that desire of your heart, which is this peace and healing in your family.
As good as it is that God is giving you these blessings and these miracles, Satan is always right there trying to take it away or undermine it in some way. And the way that Satan is trying to undermine the blessings and the miracles that God is giving you is called the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption is when we say, God has shown up for me before, so I don't have to do anything. I don't have to learn any new skills. I don't have to try to do new things. God's just going to take care of it. That is the sin of presumption. God wants us to work with him and to get the skills that we need to cooperate with that grace. Because when we just say, well, God's just going to take care of it, that sounds like a faithful thing to say, but really what it is it's us throwing up our hands and not using the gifts and talents and the abilities that God has given us to work with him to build the kingdom. And he needs us to do that. He's giving you this grace. He's giving you these miracles as a way of inspiring you to realize there is more. And if you work with him, there can be even more. But just saying, well, God's going to take care of it, that is actually the sin of presumption. So enjoy this blessing. Enjoy these miracles. Enjoy this grace. But then get the skills you need to learn to cooperate with it. So number one, just to recap here, you may set the rule that you can't be around them if there's drinking. So number two, have the conversation long before any conflict shows up. And you say to them, look, guys, what do we need to do to take better care of each other when there is conflict? And number three, lead by example, by getting the professional help you need to cooperate more effectively with the abundant grace that God is generously pouring out in your life. thanks for the call, Karen. I'm glad you reached out to us today. 877-573-7825. We are taking your calls about dealing with conflict today on More to Life. Let's talk about how to handle conflict gracefully in all of our relationships. 877-573-7825. Our scripture of the day comes to us from Luke 17, verse 3.
This one kind of makes me laugh a little bit because it's so right there. It says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him.
You know, I love this because it's concise, but it also kind of says it all. To be a Christian does not mean to avoid conflict. It just means to be respectful and loving and generous in that conflict. So again, you know, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Say what you need to say. Say it respectfully, say it lovingly, and when the other person says, I'm willing to work with you on this, let them.
Yeah, don't beat them over the head about it for the rest of their lives. Don't dig in your heels because you still feel wounded. Move on to the forgiveness. But remember, it is also in this line contingent. If he repents, forgive him. Too many of us think that just because we've said that we've been wronged, that if that person doesn't respond with any kind of repentance, well, we've said it, so now, because we're Christian, we should just let them keep getting away with it. That's weakness. That's not calling somebody on to holiness or walking in holiness ourselves. So, one more time, and it's Luke 17:3. If you need a little extra strength to have it around in your back pocket all day, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him.
Amen. More to Life will continue with more questions about managing conflict gracefully in every area of your life and all of your relationships when More to Life continues after the break.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about conflict and how to manage it gracefully in all of your relationships. The number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Colleen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On Covenant Radio. Hey, Colleen, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's your question?
I can't believe I'm hearing this call. I guess it's God talking to me here.
Okay. So what's he saying to you today? What do you need?
I have a, I'm a single Catholic mom raising three daughters. And I have evening prayer time And I'm getting, as they're getting older, I'm getting back flack and them arguing about coming together. They're saying they do not have time. And I'm trying to communicate that to them. And I'm getting too emotional about it. And the fact that they're not listening and respecting the fact that this is what we do as a family.
So when you've tried to address that with her and say, you know, with the kids and say, you know, this is what we do as a family, what do they say back? Kind of walk me through this conversation.
I don't have time. I need to do my homework. And so I say, well, I try to work with their schedule. But it's just, I feel it's,
do you have a specific time that you do family prayer? I mean, there are bigger issues here, but, and it happens the same time every day?
Yes.
So what's help me understand here. What is she waiting till then to get their work done? Is she in the middle of the work? Like what's like? Because it sounds like she's not expecting it or something. What's the surprise every day? Why is this an issue?
I think that she doesn't want to sit down with us and do the prayer.
Yeah. So is she upset? Is she angry with you or at God?
Yeah, that's a good question. So do I address that with her?
Yeah, that would be your next step. See, because here's the thing. I think it's okay to say to her, look, I hear what you're saying, but I think that you're not telling me the whole truth, okay? You know, it's not a matter of not having time. It's a matter of there's something wrong, and this is a way of getting my attention. You know, but when she says, I don't want to pray with you, I don't have time for this, that's silly. That's nonsense. What she's really saying is, Mom, I'm upset about something. And either she's mad at God or she's mad at you. And you want to give her permission and give her the space to be able to say what she's upset about. And I think it's okay to interpret that for her and say, look, you know, when people say that, usually what that means is they're either mad at God or they're mad at the person who wants to pray with them. And either way, I want to be your mom and help you through it. Right. So talk to me. What's going on? And how can I help you feel better about whatever it is? Now, once you get the information on it, either you'll figure out together how to solve it or you can call us back here. One or the other.
Because that'll be the next step.
Yeah.
Then when we know that what, you know, why she's angry and who she's angry at, then we can walk you through the next steps of how to build that relationship back up with her and help her to feel, you know, heard and open to talking to God about some things. Now, let's just say. Just for the sake of argument, and I really want you to go with what Greg's saying here. She's 15. I know a lot of 15-year-olds right now who, right now especially, school seems to, during this like January to February month, escalated to the point of insanity for a lot of kids in this grade level. And I have 15-year-olds in my life who are like doing homework and practices and everything till midnight, and she might actually be feeling really tense. And if she says to you, Mom, I swear everything's great except the schedule, then you go back and say, okay, when can we fit in prayer? Or what kind of prayer can we fit in? Or how can we do this differently? You don't let her off the hook for family prayer, but you might not be doing, you know, an hour of like kind of very pious prayer that she can't fit in. You're working with saying, no, you need God in the midst of all this, so what can we do? But chances are, if she's using this just as a wall between the two of you and she's just refusing because she's too busy, there's something that she's upset about, either with God in her life or with you and your spouse and your family situation. And only when you start discussing that will you be able to start healing it.
So, yeah, that's really your first step. And once you find out what the real issue is, then you can either resolve it together or give us a call back here and we'll walk you through the rest of it. But, you know, listeners, when our kids push back against family prayer, don't address it as a behavior problem. It's a relationship problem. It's either it's either the breakdown in the relationship with God or the breakdown in the relationship with you. And the more you come at it as, well, we do this as a family, and if you don't do this, there's going to be, you're missing the point, and you're stacking the deck against yourself. Because then what happens to happen is the kid in their mind hears, Mom or Dad isn't really listening to what I'm trying to say to them by saying, I don't want to pray.
And we don't ever want to make God a rule. We want to make God a relationship that they have with him forever and turn to him whenever they need him in their lives, which is every moment.
And it's okay in those situations to say, you know what? you know, sometimes I feel that way too. And that would really actually surprise a lot of our kids to say, you know, sometimes I don't feel like praying. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm too busy. Sometimes I get irritated or upset with God and I don't want to talk to him. Sometimes, you know, there's other stuff going on and it gets in the way of my relationship with him, but that's all part of it. So tell me, what's getting in the way of your relationship with God or me, for that matter? Because sometimes if somebody I don't like or I'm mad at wants to pray with me, I don't want to pray with them. So is it that, or is it something that's going on with God? And if you can draw that out, then you can respond to the spiritual wound that's getting in the way of the family prayer. But if you make it all about discipline, you're just stacking the deck against you and God, ultimately. Thanks for the call, Colleen. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. We'd love to hear and help you through the next step. That's all the time we've got for today's program. I want to encourage you to check out the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com, including, Colleen, our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, where we address that question in a lot more detail. But there are lots of other resources there for all of our listeners at CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. Especially learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. It's all there at CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.